This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Happy New Year. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast back with you. Because we never leave.
What do you want to do tomorrow, guys?
Probably another show.
Let's do it.
Never going to stop. It might be healthier for us to stop. I guess it depends on who you are and when you're asking. But Monday, January 2nd, the season is not over. We have a Monday Night Football game of epic proportions tonight. But we did have a weekend of football. Championships were won and lost. Some of them are still to be decided, obviously, tonight. But it was a heck of a weekend. We will cover all of it. Studs, duds.
And more.
I don't know what the more is, but we'll
I know
it.
What the more is.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing a Mike Evans jersey.
Oh, this whole thing? This whole Mike Evans? Man, I've been telling you guys every week how good Mike Evans is. I just love him. I love Mike Evans. He's my favorite player in the whole universe.
You did say that you would purchase a jersey if he were to win you a championship, which he did.
Mm.
And this is Mike Evans, the story of Mike Evans, the children's book, dare I say the nightmare / miracle of Mike Evans, is the, if you could bottle that story up and sell it, that would, you'd label it fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the exact type of mental torture, unpredictability that defines the game we love / hate. Mike Evans, I know people that dropped him before championship weekend. I know the vast majority benched him. And this was not, to be clear, this was not a lock to play him this week. Mike Evans last week on purpose after thinking he was going to have a decent game and then having a second thought and playing Devin Singletary over him.
Yeah, which turned out to be a good move last week. This week, I would have benched Mike Evans had I had Derrick Henry and Christian Watson, my two presumed starters. They were both out, and Mike Evans was a lock for my – he wasn't even my questionable player. But absolutely, I wouldn't have blamed anyone for having had the run that Mike Evans had been on for saying, you know, I worry he's not going to get a touchdown. Now, thankfully, Mike, you did have touchdown lock guarantee. This is the – it took three of them, three locks to get the three touchdowns all in 1 week. But it was a good week, and he might be my favorite player in the history of fantasy football now. I'm talking about wide receiver one, Mike Evans, who is the wide receiver 11 on the season now.
Mike Evans, this run has been fantasy football. But to me, it's also been a little bit of – this is why you have a certain process. Now, it doesn't always work. Like the past,
that process was true 2 weeks ago and last week.
Yes, no, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't always come through because there's human nature. There's just variance and the statistics. Those things happen. But it was looking at, you know, the outside numbers. How involved is he? As like, what's been missing? And last week when he was my start of the week, it was highlighting he's getting end zone targets, but he's not coming through with touchdowns. Now, of course,
no end zone targets.
These were not end zone targets. These were just wide open, streaking down the field, which he's also had a few of those where there's been these just Mike Evans nasty drops of, I can't remember what week it was, but you had the free play where Mike Evans just all over the shoulder, which he did three times this past week, but he just dropped it. So I don't know. To me, it kind of just, it's a fairy tale. It's a Disney story. You had the ups and the downs and the perseverance and then the huge payoff at the end.
Wide receiver 34, 44, 75, 46, 49, 32, 56. Jason.
One. Yes. which is what I hope to have accomplished in our league of record.
Yes, which you did.
Hopefully. So long. Yes. I.
If Joe Burrow doesn't outscore Devin Singletary by 43 or something.
41.54.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't blame you. Which has happened once. Week 7, it would have happened. So that's where I'm like, I should win.
Yeah.
I should win, but I'm not going to go there. You know, I'm not playing the trumpets yet because I don't want that coming back.
You've opened the cases for the trumpets.
I have purchased trumpets. I mean, I have trumpets. Don't hear what I'm not saying. They are everywhere. I just haven't started playing them.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah, you've got an abundance of trumpets.
Yeah.
You've mapped the parade route
yes,
for the city, but you haven't booked it yet.
I have so many musicians lined up. I mean, these are excellent world-class brass players, and I can't wait to hear the music, but I will wait for the conclusion of this game.
Look, I know you are riding high with Mike, but there are a lot of people that did not have him that are waiting on Diggs and Higgins and Burrow and Allen and
so many players.
James Mixon. Cook and Singletary and Mixon, and there are big-time championships on the line. We took to Twitter. Now, the abundance of Twitter puns submitted this week were, like, if you had to break them down in a pie chart, right, there would be – there'd be like a two-thirds sliver for like Mike Evans. Then there would be like a almost full one-third sliver for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, which is fair.
I mean,
I had both of them. I don't know the problem. They combined for almost 50 points.
So you were in the good situation there. It's wild because the story of Evans has been disappointment for the entirety of the year. And the story of Jefferson has been breaking all the records for the entirety of the year. And when push came to shove in the championship game, it wasn't just Jefferson that let you down. There were other significant players. So let's jump into the puns. Let's start there. Let's go with Bustin Jefferson.
Uh-huh. Justin Jokerson.
But we have Mike. Thank heavens.
And, of course, Amari Coop. There it is.
How about Dookie Metcalf?
Oh. Jahan Notson.
Yes, and Daniel Thrones.
Oh, Mike, there is DeAndre Gift.
DeAndre Grift. Trevor Florence.
And Jared Studham.
Oh, how about Austin Excalibur?
Oh, my goodness.
Or Christian McChampionship.
That sounds delicious. Can I get two Christian McChampionships, yeah, please?
Those are sandwiches for you?
Yeah, I mean, they had a Mick in the name, so.
Yeah, it was nice to see those two running backs, Eckler, McCaffrey, have big weeks, especially with some questions around utilization. We saw that, you know, Trevor Florence, he didn't play the whole game.
He got Houstoned.
And because Travis Etienne had a big game and they scored on the ground, he ended up with as bad of a game as you can expect.
Yeah, I mean, every single running back on that roster had a touchdown. They smoked the Houston Texans. Everyone had a touchdown. They were giving them out for free. Travis Etienne had an unbelievably great game. You guys want to guess whether or not he had 10 carries? Because he didn't.
I was going to say, did he play 50% of snaps?
No, he didn't need to. I mean, it was like it was a real bad situation for Trevor Lawrence, who had been on fire. I recommended him. I thought, hey, they are going to play their guys, and they did. They weren't going to rest their guys. They just got to rest their guys not because of the playoff implications, but because the game was over at halftime.
Well, and that might have been what you would have seen in San Francisco, for example, if the Raiders hadn't come out and put together a really good game against them. I think there's two quarterbacks in football that have thrown three touchdowns against the 49ers this year, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Stidham. So, you know, I don't know the playoff scenario for the Raiders. Are they still alive? Or have they been eliminated due to other situations? You should look that up, because I would just
be
really...
I think they're dead.
I'd be really curious if they still had a chance with Jared Stidham to end the year, but probably out, I would guess. Let me cover a couple of things here at the top as we get into this final week of the regular season. Jason, they're
out.
They're toast. Oh, they lost.
Yeah, they lost. Why they
went to overtime.
They had a moral victory. Yes. I forgot.
Yes. You know what's funny is when you were talking about it, I had the same thought. I was like, yeah, well, they took care of business, which they did. They lost.
Yeah.
But they took care of a lot of business.
This isn't hockey with the overtime loss. Mm. You don't get a point for that.
Nope.
I want to cover a couple of things with our schedule, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, as we head into the new year. Make sure you follow and subscribe to the show. We are not going away. We are pivoting to our off-season schedule starting next week. We're here all 5 days this week. Next week, we will be 2 days a week. Those shows come out on Tuesday and Thursday. And we also have a footcast. If you don't know what the footcast is, I don't know if we take very much time to define that on here anymore. But if you support the show at jointhefoot.com, we do an extra weekly episode. We cover everything that's going on around here, all the updates to the tools, to the website, to the apps. And we mostly spend that episode answering your questions, exclusive mailbag show for the Foot Clan.
And those are really fun episodes a lot of times, especially as we get into this part of the season. I mean, this is the questions that come in are all over the place, and we enjoy answering them.
No, it's a great time. So if you want that extra episode, like if you can't, you know, go from five down to two, and you're like, man, I need to step that down a little bit, jointhefoot.com, support the show over there. We're an independent podcast, and we appreciate everybody that supports the show. It's been a fun year. I've obviously seen, I mean, you guys have as well, all of the tweets, people enjoying just the duration of the year, the ride, right? It's a roller coaster. We cry together. We cheer together.
Get your hashtags ready. Hashtag Foot Clan title. If you take one down.
Yeah, let us know.
Put it out there on socials.
And you can follow us. Tag us at the FF Ballers on Twitter. And like I said, year round, we're here. We'll get into the NFL playoffs. We'll get into the footy awards. We give our year end awards. You vote on them. The truth episodes. The Super Bowl's coming up. 10 things to remember. There is so much going on. And then we also have our Spitballers podcast.
Yeah, baby.
If you need a full detox from football, mm-hmm. you need a break, and you just want to laugh at stupid people saying stupid things,
we're your men.
That's us.
We got you, Spitballers.
And, yeah, listen to the Spitballers podcast. If you are taking it home or you are the commissioner responsible for distributing a trophy, check out fantasychamps.com. The code is free ring, and you will get a free championship ring with the purchase of a trophy or belt. Now is the time.
I am going to get so much stuff.
I'm on the website now. I have no doubt. And let's get into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
You guys care if I just blitz this? Can I just run through it?
I'll let you know if I need to stop it.
Okay. I mean, we got week 18 coming up.
Okay.
Let's
so
blitz.
You have to, it has to be so valuable that
yep.
the 4.9% need it. Teddy Bridgewater.
Stop. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's hold up right there.
You guys were jinxing the same joke.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater, finger injury, left early.
Wait, it was a finger?
Yeah, dislocated and broken pinky finger.
When he got
stiffed arm
face mask slammed into the ground.
Yeah.
He hurt his finger?
His fingy.
Yeah, that's a fingy. For
yeah,
sure.
That's the pinky.
I mean, I'm not trying to throw a football with a broken pinky, so I'm not blaming him, but I did not realize this.
Jacoby Myers exited early with a shoulder injury. Nick Foles exited early with a rib injury. James Conner exited early with a shin injury.
That one had a good shin injury. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Had a good game though. Before leaving, which was nice for fantasy purposes.
Could have been nicer.
Oh, yeah. Could have been incredible.
Sky Moore early exit with a hand injury, also a drop injury. And then Jalen Hurts expected to be available in week 18. They lost. Gardner did not get it done, and the Eagles are now up against it to secure the top seed.
0-2 without Jalen Hurts.
What is their situation now, though, with the Minnesota loss? I guess San Francisco still won.
Yeah, San Francisco. I think Dallas is still alive. I don't remember the record off the top of my head, but like if Philadelphia wins, they get it. They get the number one seed. There's nothing else.
But
that
it
they
is
need.
On the line. Like yes. they can't. Okay, but they could get it without winning if other teams lose.
Right. Yes.
All right. Any other news you guys want to talk about? Got the Monday Night Football game tonight. Bills, Bengals.
Oh, I want that to be over already. Let's fast forward time.
All right. Let's jump into the studs.
Studs of the week presented by Madewell.
All right, let's get into it. This was the game. I mean, it took 17 weeks, but we got it. Tom Brady, 34 for 45, the three touchdowns to Evans, 432 passing yards, and as Jason predicted, the Buccaneers found a way to win at the end.
The crazy thing is how good Chris Godwin won as well.
I mean,
Chris, 120 receiving yards.
Yeah, 9 receptions, 120 receiving yards, 207 yards for Mike Evans. It's just like, just do this, Tom Brady. Throw those two guys. Stop spreading the ball around.
Daniel Jones got into the end zone twice on the ground, twice through the air. The quarterback 7 on the year. Daniel Jones, the wheels on display in this one, 11 for 91 on the ground.
He had been on fire. I mean, he's been a top 12 quarterback 4 of the last 5 weeks.
So he'll be very likely he'll be back.
Seems either that way.
For the franchise Giants, tag or an extension. They want him and Barkley back. Jarrett Stidham, big game. No one started him. Literally started in 0% of leagues. But he supplied what was necessary for Davante Adams.
I can't imagine. Like the scenario where someone goes into their championship week and would have been forced into that.
It would have been the team that like had the collusion against them with Jalen Hurts last week. Or something.
Yeah. I mean, I have him putting up really important points in a championship game that is best ball. Picked him up the morning of because it was like, oh, maybe he'll.
Which is a weird
game.
Best ball, right?
Yeah, I mean,
because most best ball you don't add people.
Well, yeah, I mean, usually like we're used to drafting on underdog. That's like a preseason best ball. This is a full dynasty league where you just don't have to make your start-sit decisions. You get your best lineup every week.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. Patrick Mahomes, big week again.
Without Kelsey.
He led the team in receiving.
He did?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say without him.
What?
He was the leading receiver.
Travis Kelsey was 7 for 43. He led the team?
Yeah.
See, this is the problem with
Wait,
spreading
hold
it
on.
Around.
Hold on. You're telling me Patrick Mahomes had 328 yards?
Yeah.
And Kelsey led the team.
Yeah, I don't
Where
know.
Where did
I
the
don't
yards
know if,
go?
I don't know if that was in reference to total receptions or yards.
Okay.
So you can go look at the box score, but I know he led the team in receptions. So,
yeah, it's got to be receptions, right?
I thought he had more yardage than that, though. I don't think he was in the 40s, was he?
I'm looking at the stat sheet right now, and he is.
So they just snuck out with a win again against
The
Broncos.
I got to find out what happened here. This is ridiculous.
Do you have the box score?
I am getting it pulled up right now. Looks like receiving yardage. The leader was Kadarius Toney.
There we go.
71.
That's much better.
52 for Jerick McKinnon and then 43 for Travis Kelce. But literally everyone was involved. Sky Moore got involved. MVS was involved. Justin Watson had 27. Juju Smith-Schuster, Blake Bell, Noah Gray. I mean, everyone caught the ball.
Did he at least lead the tight ends?
He led all the tight ends.
Not in touchdowns.
No.
But to Andy's point, he did lead in targets and in receptions.
There you go. I knew I had heard something to that extent, which, again, blew my mind because of how underwhelming he was for your fantasy week.
Yeah.
And then Russell Wilson, whatever.
Hey.
I mean, two rushing touchdowns. So that was a good week for Russ. Worth a momentary reflection on Russell Wilson as we head into the offseason. I have no qualms with being aggressively disinterested in Russell Wilson.
Agreed.
He has struggled immensely this year. But I will say this. This is a situation. He did not go into a better situation. He went into a worse one. Worse coaching, worse wide receivers, worse running back situation with Javonte's injury and Melvin Gordon being released, and potentially worse offensive line situation in the end. So while I don't think this Russell Wilson from this year is prescriptive for every following season. You know, you saw Cortland Sutton was not good this year.
Sure.
Jerry Jeudy was their best receiver, injured at times. This was not DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett by any stretch of the imagination. And we know, I mean, they lost their coach, you know, before the season was over.
Before it started.
Yeah, I mean, just the perfect hire fired before the season ends. So
the perfect fire.
I mean, I just want to give, like, I want to give Russ enough credit for the resume of career. And you know, people want to say system quarterback. You know, everybody's a system quarterback to a degree, right? If you're in a better system, you're going to be more successful. They obviously are coaching better in Seattle and turned Geno Smith into a functional offense. But that was also because Metcalf is way, way, way better than any receiver that he has in Denver. And there's an argument to be made that he lost his number one receiver before the season began. Do not forget that Tim Patrick was lost to an ACL injury in the preseason. The numbers, if you look at Cortland Sutton this year, they're bad. I mean, he's gone down in PFF ratings three straight years. He's 50-something in contested catch, which is what he's supposed to do because he's 80th in separation, which is, you know, if you don't separate, you better win at the point of attack.
Agreed.
And so it just, like, he's a great two, I think. I think that might be the truth about Cortland Sutton because, you know, it's just possible that Russ is better, but not what people thought before the preseason.
No, I'm in agreement here that I'm not going to pound the table and be like, Russ, the bounce back is coming. But ran across a tweet, apologize, I don't remember who sent it because it was just, you know, a fleeting tweet. But they were pointing out, look at Hall of Fame quarterbacks who have had, like, catastrophic years. And there's a lot of them. Yeah, like one I can remember off the top of my head. Remember when Kurt Warner was done for the New York Giants?
Yeah.
He was cast aside, and like, I don't.
Eli Manning took over.
I don't even remember how the Cardinals got him. If it was just like they had Matt Leiner, they needed a backup quarterback, and then Kurt Warner.
I believe they cut him. I believe the Giants cut him after they made the switch.
And then Kurt Warner comes to town, has a good offensive system, has Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, and boom, he's back. So I'm with you, Andy. I'm going to leave a little bit of margin for Russ to be better next year.
Yeah, so the Rams had released Warner, and the Giants voided the second year of the contract after Eli took over, and then he went on to succeed. It's a good, you know.
And there's other quarterbacks who have done it.
Is Russ a Hall of Fame quarterback?
He was before this year. Yeah, before this year, I would have. If he had retired, he would have been in immediately to me.
You've seen the wide receivers come out and vehemently defend him lately?
Huh?
You didn't see Jerry Jeudy come out and make a public statement in his defense?
No.
So, like, because obviously it's easy to pile on a man of that ego.
It's so easy.
Yeah, I mean, he does some certain things to himself.
Also a lot of fun.
Yeah, but Jeudy came out. Sutton's come out and said it. Hamler came out and defended him. We have his back. We know he wants nothing more to win. Jeudy said the media is trying to make something out of it that it isn't. You guys do not know what's going on in the locker room. I'm tired of reading things about my boy, making it seem like he's not a good teammate. That's not true at all. So, I mean.
No, I get that. I've never said anything about him being a bad teammate. Bad quarterback.
Well, his other teammates have implied those things.
Jared Goff, start of the week, 3 touchdowns, 255.
Boom.
They whooped him. Deshaun Watson. What?
He had 3 touchdowns, only threw for 169 yards, but had 3 touchdowns, one of which was the worst tackling job I've ever seen on Amari Cooper. Just like on the sideline. The guy's like, you can go. You just run the rest of the way. Then he had this massive touchdown that seems like...
I like you. You can go ahead.
You shall pass.
Sam Darnold played good enough to win this one. 341 and one. The defense... 341
and three.
Sorry, yes. One interception.
Yep.
The defense couldn't stop Mike Evans on 3 plays. At those three, that was the offense. That was the what did it. It wasn't the running game. It wasn't check down... dump truck material. It was Mike Evans getting loose behind the DB.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with the running backs.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. Let's talk about DeAndre Swift, 11 for 78 and a touchdown, Mike.
No.
Four targets.
No.
Another touchdown through the air. I've never seen somebody more actively, aggressively against the player succeeding than Mike every time DeAndre Swift had the ball this week.
No. I mean, I bet you could look across the Twitter landscape and you could. I'm sure you could find it because this line is incredible. This is a week-winning performance for teams that are not in the championship game.
This is said as someone who had DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, and I'm speaking for all the Swifters out there that got wrecked on a weekly basis. Uh-huh. But it was excellent to see because he is a good player.
He was on the Mike Evans plan.
He is a good player and was not coming through, and it was just very frustrating.
Teammate Jamal Williams had an awesome game, 144 rushing yards and a touchdown as well.
Yeah, Chicago is bad against the running back.
He's the RB12 on the season.
He also, I believe, he led the week in rushing. He was the rushing leader for Week 17.
He's also now playing Pokemon. Did you not watch his?
No,
clip?
No, I didn't. I don't. They were talking about.
I posted it, but they were talking to him after the game, and he's like, "Man, I just want to get out of here and play some Pokemon."
Okay.
He's like, "Stop talking to me."
Yeah, it'll be a fun final week of the year for the Lions. I mean, what a matchup we're going to have next week.
Yes, because Green Bay has to win.
Both of them do.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fantastic.
Austin Eckler finishes the year as the RB1. 10 for 122 and 2. Just thinking about the first 3 weeks of the season and where we are now with Austin Eckler. Mm-hmm. You know, the predictions of touchdown regression, guys. You know, he went from 20 to 19.
Yeah, so is right.
Hey, we got him.
Regressed.
Still got another week. Christian McCaffrey, 19 for 121 and 1. 6 for 72 through the air, the RB2.
Top of head, who's your 101, McCaffrey or Eckler?
McCaffrey.
Okay. McCaffrey, yeah. Travis Etienne, the big game. We talked about it. Jerick McKinnon is the first running back in the Super Bowl era to have a receiving touchdown in 5 consecutive games. He had 2 in this one. He was a, when you think about an end-of-season unheralded name.
Yeah.
That won people championships. Jerick McKinnon is going to be in that list. There'll be people with Jerick McKinnon jerseys like Jason Evans jersey.
Absolutely. Today. 3 of the last 4 weeks, he's been a top 6 running back. I mean, he hasn't been outside the top 24 since week 12. He's just been unbelievable and is a clear, important part of the passing game for Mahomes.
Najee Harris, end of the year, strong. 22 for 111, caught a touchdown. He's been the RB6 since week 11.
That touchdown reception was, I mean, he snatched that thing out of the air.
Raheem Mostert, you never know when to play him, but when he plays well.
Down, Raheem!
9 for 29. The strange thing was the 8 targets. Like, the ground game, it didn't work at all. And he's not normally this involved in the passing game, yet went 8 for 62 and 1. You had Teddy Bridgewater leave. So you had some variables here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had,
yeah.
Who's the backup quarterback?
Skylar.
Skylar Thompson?
Skylar Sisters.
I couldn't. The only thing popping into my head was like Scooter McGavin or something. That was his name in Happy Gilmore, right?
Shooter.
Shooter, not Scooter.
Scooter.
Now that he's older, now he's Scooter.
He's Scooter McGavin. Yeah, that's the third stringer in Miami from now on is Shooter McGavin. Cordero got into the end zone. Tyler Algier, the big game. 20 for 83, start of the week. Josh Jacobs, hopefully you played him. 17 for 69, yeah, 4 for 26 through the air.
That was such a tough situation, whether or not to start with full confidence Jacobs and Davante Adams, looking at your other options of like, maybe I put someone in, but Jacobs came through and he even missed essentially the whole first quarter with, I don't remember what the injury was, but he left for quite a while and then came back and was great.
I feel pretty good about the running back recommendations from the show last week because sure. most of them came through and it, you know, it's a stressful week. Kenneth Walker, 23 for 133, had a huge run to start the game. And then Cam Akers, 19 for 123.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He looked very, very good. He's someone that if you checked out on fantasy, I think going into next season, you might be slow on the uptick because he looks the part. Clearly, we're not worried about injury. We're not worried about relationship with the team, which, you know, is like it was like a couple months ago.
Yep.
It was like they were done. He'll never play another snap as a Ram. Now he's their bell cow.
It's wild because I feel like that situation, they actively tried to trade him. No one wanted him. So they tried to get rid of him. And then at some point in time, it's like everybody had to get in a room together and be like, look, we can't get rid of you. So you're going to be stuck here. I guess we'll play you because we don't have anybody else to play.
Yeah, so be better.
So just play hard and try to be good and we'll give you the ball. And then they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And he might have earned himself some cash money for the future. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, we talked about it. Mike's start of the week was Mike Evans. He took our touchdown guarantees for the last 3 weeks and threw them all into 1 week.
I love him.
He was the, looks like, fifth most points for a fantasy championship performance since 2000.
Man, the people looking across the aisle, you're like, oh, look at this chump over here. Starting Mike Evans. I can't believe you're doing that to yourself in championship week. Then, oh, no.
I know who I will be voting for in the footies on best performance of the year.
Funny enough, I was thinking about that. I'm like, what has been the performance of the year? Because you've had like some really big ones.
How is it not that?
10 for 207 and 3 in championship week.
This was before the Evans game. I was trying to think what was that week where it was just, it made all of the difference. And now it's, I mean, we can just kind of skip that category.
I mean, that was unbelievable. Davante Adams, 7 for 153 and 2. Ends the year as the wide receiver 3. So,
wild.
You know, Adams is great.
Yes.
And we'll see what the quarterback situation is. I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, they'll probably pursue some free agent options. They're not going to be in a position to draft a high echelon quarterback. So, I mean, you could mix and match some free agency.
But they have to. Well, they don't have to, but I mean, they're probably going to trade Carr. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it all happens. Of course, we got the, Derek Carr unfollows Raiders on socials.
Oh, I didn't know that. Aww. That's what you have to do now.
Yeah, yeah. It's real cute.
You let them know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't blame him if they literally said, hey, we're going to move on from you. Get away from the team. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Keep Raiders starting Go quarterback Raiders! In your bio.
What a tough situation there.
Yep.
Have you guys seen the discussion about San Francisco might be positioning themselves for Brady?
No, I have not.
So
that would be just the worst.
Because, you know, you're talking about a situation where, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo injured now, Trey Lance, no. I mean, they're built to win right now.
Yeah.
And he's a free agent. There was rumors about San Francisco in the past. Just interesting.
Trey Lance just had his follow-up surgery to remove the hardware from his ankle because it was bothering him. That's never a good sign. They say, oh, he'll be ready by OTAs, but this is another surgery.
I think Brady keeps playing, so we'll see. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 9 on the year, deserves a ton of credit for overcoming every obstacle in his way. Multiple quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, backup quarterbacks, dark wizards.
Yeah, all of the above.
Cooper's getting it done.
3 catches, though.
Hey, which
is, I mean,
3
it was
for 105.
Like I said, he had that one play down the sideline that was a giant, massive bomb touchdown. And that takes your ability to catch more passes on that drive away.
Do you expect the dark wizard to ascend in terms of returning to form?
I hope not.
So my opinion on this, I do think I that know. He will get better because he's been atrocious.
Yes.
Obviously, he had three touchdowns this game, so for fantasy purposes was fine. But, you know, still hasn't been great. The last few weeks has been awful. I do not expect him to stay awful. I think that with an off season, with kind of building around him, I do think he'll get back to being a good option in the NFL. I doubt that he gets back to where he was, though, prior to suspension.
Brandon Ayuk ended up with a big game, 9 for 101 and a touchdown. This was the kind of bounce away from Kittle over to Ayuk in this one. DJ Moore, Mike, you played him in DFS, which thank goodness it's not me this week.
Thank goodness it is me. I want to take this on because nothing could bring me
sadness.
Well,
Mike, you need to find whatever.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Shame.
I'm on
situation is possible and enter it into the wheel because we need him landing on something disastrous.
Plastic bag.
Oh my god.
Wait, I'm gonna die. Put it on, fat boy.
Oh, we would never say that. AJ Brown, 9 targets, 1 big play. He had 97 yards, I think 78 was 1 reception.
That's AJ Brown.
Devontae Smith, 13 targets, 9 for 115. They're going to end the year potentially both in the top 10. That's where they're at right now.
The Devontae Smith, I know he's been playing, you know, fantastic overall, especially when Goddard had the injury and he started moving up. But, like, it's always fascinating when the new quarterback comes in and seeing how they play. And it was like Gardner Minshew loves Devontae Smith. Their play styles just mesh really well.
Devontae Smith is a league winner. Like he is probably the most unheralded piece of my championship run because you look at the last several weeks, he helped me get there with last week's monstrous performance as the wide receiver 2 was awesome this last week. But going backwards, the wide receiver 10 to 15, 17, and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, not even past being a top 20 wide receiver for the last 5 weeks, just absolutely incredible. And as the wide receiver 2 for his own team.
Yeah, and this wasn't what we've seen from Devontae Smith historically. We've seen big game disappear, big game, and now he's been very consistent. CeeDee Lamb, Thursday Night Football.
Yep, he was good.
Taking care of business, and we'll end it there. Justin Jefferson, the sad game. We'll talk about him later. Tight ends, hey, look at this. Look at this. Trey McBride, 10 targets, 7 for 78, and a touchdown.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
He is one of 6 rookie tight ends over the last decade with a 775 and a touchdown
Please.
Game. So we haven't seen that very much.
Please. Yeah.
But you were drafted to be this, Trey.
I mean, he was the first tight end taken in the NFL draft. And, you know, Mike and I in the team that we should be champ. Back to back to back. James, we took Trey McBride with the last pick in the first round of our rookie draft because he projected to be a fantasy star in the future and then didn't have a rookie season. So having him pop up here at the end of the season and just flash the brilliance that he was drafted to have is such a good thing for his future outlook.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting situation with Zach Ertz, who's still under contract, I believe.
He is. He just got an extension, 3 year, I think, at the beginning of the year.
Doubt it lasts 3 years.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole story of what are the Arizona Cardinals going to do? Because they...
Tear it down.
They probably need to tear it down.
Darren Waller, 5 targets, 3 for 72 and a touchdown. Looked really good in this game.
Yep.
Mark Andrews, 9 for 100. First game, over 65 receiving yards since week 6. This All is right. why people kept playing him. This is the week of bounce back for certain players. You know, on the Evans... Mark Andrews, some of these staples for your lineup that weren't good. 14 for 46 on the ground for Taysom Hill. That's a lot of carries for a tight end.
Yeah, because he's not a tight end.
Tyler Conklin, 6 for 80.
Yeah.
I don't know who the future quarterback in New York is, but I'm not sure they know it yet.
It's Derek Carr.
Yeah?
That's where I think he's going to go.
George Kittle, 4 for 23, got back into the end zone, end of the year, 3 straight top 12 performances. No thoughts, just dead silence. No, thank you, guys.
He
Al, do you have anything on Kittle?
No.
Okay.
Right, top,
thank, thank you. Thank
when you said top 12 performances, it, for me, tight ends top 12 isn't that big of an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Well, how about he was the tight end one and the tight end two, and then he had a touchdown this week.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's passable.
It's no, great. Sorry it's, to bother you with the Kittle stats there, guys.
Thank you. Thank
it's,
you. Thank
it's
you.
Great I, to see. Would like to see him do these types of things when Deebo Samuel's on the field so that we know we can actively draft him as the tight end three.
He would have had a 60-yard touchdown in this game if he wasn't. Brock Purdy threw a pick, underthrowing him on another one of those plays that worked out the past 2 weeks.
It is incredible, his splits, where when Ayuk and Deebo are both active and play the game, Kittle is just not that big a part of this offense. Shanahan designs...
It's not enough to go around.
Plays like, you know, you talk about system quarterbacks or whatever. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is here. Not take anything away from Brock Purdy, but C.J. Beathard succeeded in the system. They just design up plays where it's like, here's what you're going to do, robot. You're going to do this play. Do this. And they don't design it up for George Kittle when they got two other good receiving options. And when one of them is gone, it's like, all right, Kittle, you're up.
They're the first team where the quarterback position is actually run by AI.
And it's working.
It's actually fully run by AI.
Were they 12 wins now?
Yeah, they've won 9 in a row, I think. All right, that was Studs of the Week presented by Madewell. Don't wait to upgrade your denim game. Go to madewell.com. Get $20 off your next pair of jeans. Use the code footballers20. I mean, it was a heck of a weekend.
Man, the champ, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we opened the show kind of celebrating Mike Evans and talking about your league of record situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think Andy's acknowledging the champ enough.
Yeah, the champ is, it's never been done in any of the leagues I'm a part of. The back to back to back.
Right.
Well, I mean it hadn't been done.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
Al's moving the
we've had enough.
I'm just not in the league. You know what I mean? Like sure. There's a lot of people that play in leagues over the world that I'm not in, and I don't acknowledge all their championships because I'm not in it with them.
You were.
Yeah, you dropped
out. You quit.
I was never
quitter.
I was never a manager in that league.
You were a co-manager. That's what Mike's a co-manager.
Post draft. I got out of there.
Yeah.
I got out of there.
You got out at the right time.
I mean I jumped in.
You didn't want to be in this league with us.
I jumped in with the biggest loser. I saw what he drafted and I jumped out.
Yeah.
You know, and I let you guys ride on into the champ sunset.
Feels good.
All right, Duds, we got to talk about him. Trevor Lawrence, we talked about that one. 152, no touchdowns, one pick.
Yep.
Mike White looked awful.
Super disappointing.
I mean, I know we asked this question a few weeks ago, like, do you think Mike White can be something? I don't.
You said on record you do not believe he could ever be a Kirk Cousins.
No, in this game tells me he might have peaked already. I mean,
I like it. Can he be a Kirk Cousins? No. Go to the next name.
Kirk Cousins. Yes, I guess he can. He can. This week he can.
Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but he can do these things. That's part of his.
All quarterbacks can do this. Yeah.
Yeah, but and Kirk Cousins he's got a flair for it, and it's just I don't know what it is about the whole career of Kirk Cousins, because even before his time in Minnesota, when he's in Washington, like it was just so he's just an easy guy to dunk on.
He's a snowball man.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a snowball
when
man.
The momentum goes in either the wrong
direction.
Either direction. Yes.
So when you get this is how you accomplish the greatest comeback in NFL history. Is your snowball in the right way?
Yeah.
But when it goes bad, three picks on the road. I mean, this was the fear of Kirk Cousins last week, and we talked about it. Like, going into Lambeau in a game that you could put the Packers out of the playoffs, that's not what he does. He's not built for that.
That's where he collapses.
No.
And you said that last week. Like, you worried that he might collapse in the game. This
I would have been shamed
Lambeau,
if I put him in my DFS lineup.
Really, really
sure.
Important game. Yeah.
Justin Fields. This was very similar to
this
last
is
week.
Mind-boggling.
I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. He is on the duds. He did not have a good fantasy day. He had 100 rushing yards.
132.
In the first quarter.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
What? Yeah. How did he in end up on the duds.
And a passing touchdown.
Maybe 7 for 21 isn't so good.
No.
Maybe having no receivers isn't so good either. Cole Kmet was the only one giving him anything.
I can't.
And Chase Claypool, that trade.
Yeah.
So far, I mean, it could work out later. Probably won't, because we've seen Chase Claypool. He normally doesn't work out for you. The Steelers don't give away good players, right? It's just one of those, like, you trust certain teams to make certain decisions around the league, right? And yes, everybody can make mistakes, but certain teams don't make many of them.
Yeah, you know the Ravens are going to make good decisions with personnel the majority of time.
And the Steelers are in that club, and they gave him away. They didn't want him. They traded him, and he's made zero impact in Chicago. And maybe next, I mean, they have to pay him now, right?
No, he has one more year.
Oh, he does have one more?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait for him to hold out.
Speaking of the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, is he going to do it again? It's unbelievable.
I was rooting for him last night.
I was too. I found myself rooting for him to continue the streak. It sucks that, you know, we've got the extra game on the season because he did it. You know, he got 500.
What's the matchup for the final week?
I do not know.
Oh, Browns. Yeah, done deal.
I mean, it's just
in,
crazy.
In Pittsburgh. It's over.
With this ragtag group of putrid performances for the Steelers, they're going to come out about 500.
Are you talking about Kenny Pickett, who has 6 passing touchdowns?
I laughed.
Yes.
I laughed at yesterday. Jason was in the middle of his battle, and he, you know, was looking good, but he's like, I'm going to go above and beyond, something that we encourage the Foot Clan to do. He had the opportunity to drop a bench player and pick up a quarterback. So he dropped a bench player. Who did you drop?
I dropped Romeo Doubs.
Okay. Well, then it worked out still, but it worked out to the degree of, like, last I looked, Kenny Pickett had 5 points. And it was like, you added a quarterback to your bench. But yeah, that touchdown at the end changed the game. Dak, it was disappointing for Dak. Gardner Minshew was a nightmare until one big play. He ended up closer to 20 points at that point, but
yeah.
that game was trending in a direction that had Jason on. He had to have been looking for prescription drugs at that point to soften the blow of blowing his entire championship with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They had almost no opportunities in the first half of that game. And without that one big play, you'd be more scared tonight. But he got it. Let's go through some tough names here in the running back room. Dalvin Cook.
Man, since week 11, Dalvin Cook has been pretty much a disaster. He has, since week 11, so you're talking, you know, 7 games, he had a top 10 finish against the Jets. He was number 2 against the Colts in that
incredible comeback. It's the second straight year.
That is, and but it's
championship,
like,
week, he submarine titles. Last year it was 3 points. This year it's 5.
Like, remembering the Colts game, I know he was getting goal line vultured, but it was like that, whatever, it was the 70-yard receiving touchdown that gave him the real, you know, the points back against the Colts. But other than that, he's finished outside of the top 25. I mean, he is killing people.
Yeah, I think the player who was worse this week for fantasy managers was Saquon, because Saquon got you there. Dalvin Cook managers, like you just said, he's kind of not been great over the last
But you're playing him every week.
If I told you that Saquon Barkley would participate in a game in which the Giants scored 38 points and won in a blowout.
Right.
And then I told you he finished the RB40, which was his lowest finish of the year.
6 fantasy points in half PPR scoring. It was awful, and it wasn't his fault. He did nothing wrong. He ran 4.8 yards a clip. Daniel Jones vultured a couple early touchdowns. Next thing you know, the game is over. I mean, they blew the walls off of the stadium for the Indianapolis Colts, and the roof fell down upon them.
Got it. No, yeah, put it together, man.
Yeah, I got there. And so, Saquon didn't even, you know, play towards the end of that game. You had Matt Breida just do a mop-up duty. It was so unfortunate, because if you relied on Saquon, like, I had Saquon in our DraftKings lineup. That was my biggest submariner. Everything looked like
back.
Everything looked like it was great for him, and It was too great.
There's no walls on this stadium, and there's a submarine right in the middle, and it's Saquon Barkley.
My bigger question for this just mini discussion is Dalvin Cook next year, because we're forward-looking now. Do you feel like you're going to be looking at Dalvin Cook as an elite fantasy option?
Probably pretty similar to this past year where he was being drafted. He's the RB8 on the season.
Yeah.
And, it was bumpier at the end than it was at the beginning. But, yeah, I think you're not going to look at him too much like Mixon or Dalvin Cook next year.
He'll sure. Yeah, I mean, I would probably go Dalvin Cook, but I mean, it's the same. Yeah, I think that's a great comp. Like, those guys will be back end of round one or maybe fall into the early part of round two, and that's probably exactly where they belong. I he's going to start next year at 27 years old, so he hasn't aged out of anything.
Kamara will be interesting too in that group.
Sure.
Yeah, and he'll probably be carrying a suspension, so I'm guessing that he'll drop a few rounds. But yeah, that group of and Zeke, ironically, who's former, been awesome.
It's
yeah.
the former top five.
Right.
That are now still playing with these same teams. That will be really interesting. Because Kamara has lost a little bit. I mean, there's also a scheme and a quarterback situation there. But, you know, when you look at stability, Cook's going to have more stability than Kamara will.
It will be, like, the wild card for the Minnesota Vikings will be, what is the backup running back situation? Because Alexander Mattison's going into free agency. I can't imagine I say there's a world where they bring him back, but there's also a world where Alexander Mattison,
somebody will give him more money than
tries to go get the bag, possibly a starting job if one becomes available. And then what do the Vikings do to replace that backup? Do they bring in someone who actually has the juice to eat into his snaps more?
Probably not, but maybe. I mean, Alexander Mattison has the juice. Alexander Mattison, to me, looks like a Michael Turner type of player.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying where back in the day, where LT was...
Madison's not Michael Turner.
I'm saying back in the day when LT was everything, and you had this guy behind where every now and then he'd get an opportunity, a missed game or something, you'd be like, man, he's great. When he went out and got his own starting gig, he came through and was good. Michael Turner wasn't some otherworldly back, but that's what we've seen from Alexander Mattison, is when he's gotten the opportunity to have a full game in lieu of Dalvin Cook, he's been great. So I'm curious what, you know.
I think he'll get Damian Williams type of money to go someplace.
Probably.
But I'm saying, like, we always look at starting running backs like Dalvin Cook of, that team's good. There's no way they're drafting a running back. And then round two, they shock you and they take one of the top tier guys.
All right, let's look at David Montgomery. But just for a second, because if you look too long, you'll cry. This was a disaster of a game. The team, they were awful. They couldn't move the football. We just talked about Justin Fields. Now Montgomery's being talked about. Ramondre, 8 for 42 on the ground, 4 targets. I mean, this was...
People are going to be mad.
RB63, RB43 the last 2 weeks.
Collapsopotamus. I mean, this is a guy who got you to the playoffs and then showed you the door.
Well said. Leonard Fournette, 10 for 28. Leonard Fournette was barely on the field in the first half. 4 targets, 4 for 19. Scored, then had it called back. I'm sure Jason's thrilled about that because... you'd be more nervous tonight with another 8 points on the board for your opponent. Miles Sanders, 12 for 61 on the ground. No targets. Deonta Foreman, we're back. I mean, Deonta Foreman had to be the most difficult to project situation. You didn't know when the offensive line for Carolina would just, like, take some of Michael's secret stuff and be great, or when they couldn't run the ball at all.
I'm looking at some of these weekly bounce backs. Yeah, running back them. 5. Running back 42, running back 9, running back 48, running back 3, running back 70. It's like, it is the most boom or bust, feast or famine, wild play where it's like you're lighting a stick of dynamite and it could do so much damage,
right.
But that wick is so short, you better be able to throw it. And if you can, you're going to have a good time. If you can't, watch out.
Really bad time.
Yeah.
Nothing from the Jets backfield. Zonovan Knight, 8 for 27.
Yeah.
Michael Carter, 1 for 2. Nice. Wide receivers, Justin Jefferson was the headline, 1 for 15. So frustrated on the field. You saw him rip his helmet off, looked like he was about to hit a ref with it.
Jair Alexander
gritted on his grave.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that particular play, but there was maybe Alexander affected the play, but Jefferson looked like he should have caught it and hits the ground. Alexander just walking away, hitting the gritty. And this was like at the beginning of the game.
It was so good.
Because I made the comment, I'm like, whoa, Alexander, I know you're really good, but you want to be poking the bear at the beginning of the game,
and
man. The bear went into hibernation.
Oh, my God.
He shot the bear with a bear gun. I mean, if there is such a thing.
I mean, that's – people were worried about what he said before the week.
Yes.
That was – that
dude, good for you, Alexander.
Goodness gracious.
Letting them know.
I mean, these two teams could play in the playoffs.
They could.
What's funny is this game was so good for Alexander and so bad for Justin Jefferson that the record that has been talked about for the last several weeks about Justin Jefferson obviously is going to break the long-standing record. Yeah, he's not going to do it anymore because he only got 15 yards here. He needed, what, like 209?
Yeah.
So he basically still needs 200 yards?
He could technically do against Chicago.
Yeah, he could, but. You know, what do they do as a team that's, you know, are they still fighting?
Yeah, I mean,
they're not eligible for the one seed anymore.
Are they out?
They should be with the loss.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay.
So, I mean, in that situation, why do you risk Justin Jefferson's health? I don't know. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. This was the Jets' passing defense. They're too good. Jalen Waddle, 3 for 52. Really not that bad considering what happened at quarterback. Garrett Wilson, 11 targets for 3 catches.
11 targets.
Not a good.
I mean, that line, 11 targets, 3 for 18, that's basically what happened with Greg Dortch. And those were – Garrett Wilson was a must-start type of player, has been all season, and that is a massive letdown.
Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs did nothing. Watson was 1 for 11. It was too risky in the afternoon to put him out there. I don't think, you know, on Sunday Live we talked about it. Romeo Doubs was too risky too. Juju Smith-Schuster, 2 for 21. He's not good enough to do what Kelce does, demand a baseline of success every week.
Sure.
I mean, Kelce is just... Juju, if he's got the opportunity, he dropped a couple balls in this game. Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, uninvolved. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel.
Which one's it going to be?
Yeah.
Don't play any of them.
Yeah, it was going to be none of them. Carson Wentz, he had himself a special game. Because
I'm getting news of Taylor Heineke starting next week.
Yeah, that
they haven't talked about that yet, have
no,
they?
No, okay. That was a pretend.
Wentz, that was a joke.
Yeah, Carson Wentz threw
just like their situation.
143-3.
He did do a lot of celebrating.
That was 3 interceptions.
A lot of celebrating when he snuck into the end zone, though.
Yeah.
You want Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson for the next 5 years?
Russ.
Yeah.
Wentz.
What?
Well, I mean,
are you trying to get the number one pick?
No, I'm factoring in the contract. You can't move away from Russ.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, if you have to start a quarterback for the next 5 years, I would obviously go with Russell Wilson because there's at least a history of being great.
He could bounce back. Carson Wentz can't.
It's over. It's over.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson, George Pickens did nothing because they have no quarterback. Evan Engram, welcome back, Schmevin.
Come on.
Oh, you just gotta love the 1 for 16.
It's really, like we said about Trevor Lawrence.
Every pass catcher for the Jaguars, destroyed you
because they didn't need him. They just handed the ball to a running back. That running back ran until they hit that end zone thing, and then they didn't get to throw the ball.
Dallas Goedert just 3 for 45. Yeah. Probably the biggest bust of the week was David Njoku.
Yes,
1 for 21. A disaster for your fantasy championship. Tyler Higbee, most of the week we said don't read into the huge week. If you need a shot, go for him. But
I believe the one target he didn't catch was an end zone target.
Yes,
Higbee. That is true. Unfortunate. Yeah.
And then the Muth did not get Lou 3 for 36 to end the season,
which gave Papa Josh a championship in the Dynasty League, which I know is sad for you, Andy, because
no, his team's good. He deserves it.
Well, yes, his team is good, but
his
yours and Brooks
is good and deserves it.
You know, we had all this hullabaloo between you and Brooks, who had these great teams trying to get to each side of the championship in that main Dynasty League, and both of you failed to get to the championship. Had either of you gotten there, you guys put up massive performances and would have easily.
Yeah, I had Mike Evans. We would have been fighting for the jersey.
We could both fit in this. Let's climb on in, brother.
I can't because I lost. Mm. And that's the way this show's going to end. All right. Well, we will have an episode tomorrow. We'll talk about the team motivation levels going into the final week. If you've got a Week 18 title game, we'll talk about Week 18 waivers. We'll celebrate your Foot Clan title with you tomorrow. So if you bring it home, tune in. We'll talk more about that. Jason will put a bow on his title, and we'll see you then. Thank you for joining us. Jointhefoot.com is a community, and our Foot Clan title t-shirts up at shawballers.com if you want to check them out. Until next time, fellas.
Good luck, everybody. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.